Welcome to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a series of honest conversations about opportunities,
challenges,
and joy in ministry today.
These episodes are inspired by interactions with ministry leaders from across the country
as they explore possibilities,
learn from broad perspectives,
take risks,
and cultivate candid discussions
that generate disruptive creativity.
Friends, this is Adam Borneman, and today I have the pleasure of being with my colleagues and friends, Jennifer Waldie-Maxell and Brady Radford. Brady's been connected to the Ministry Collaborative for quite some time, and most recently is really one of our most gifted and insightful facilitators here in Atlanta, doing such a good job supporting pastors along the way. Brady's currently serving as the pastor of Trinity Presbyterian Church in Decatur and also a therapist with Lovewell Collective. Brady, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Sure. Thanks so much for the opportunity. I'm happy to be here.
I have found this quote from Richard Rohr this week. It says, "Hope is the patient and trustful willingness to live without full closure, mm-hmm. without resolution, and still be content and even happy because our satisfaction is now at another level and our source is beyond ourselves." I think culturally, we've been taught and conditioned to believe that we have to have closure, that there are endings before beginnings, and, you know, that it's this kind of neat way of navigating life.
That's good.
Which it isn't. And so I love this idea of releasing ourselves from the expectation of closure and neatness and endings.
Mm. I would suggest that kind of puts things right at the heart of the challenge with being resilient. In some ways, I might suggest that resilience is sort of having an ability or capacity to bounce back. But if I throw a basketball on the floor, it's going to dribble and bounce for several seconds. But eventually, the dribbling and the bouncing stops. To be resilient, to bounce back over and over and over again, eventually that ball will come to a rest. And eventually our capacities for resilience very well may run out. And I don't know if that's closure at that point, but at least it has to be acknowledged that there's no more elasticity in this rubber band. You know, the capacity for a bounce back has been lost, at least for this moment, maybe for a season. When I begin to think about life as a pastoral leader, ministry leader, one of the challenges with the identity that we sometimes hold as ministry leaders is that maybe we suggest that we're supposed to always have it neatly packaged and be able to announce both the call to worship and the benediction succinctly, clearly, in all cases. One of the things that makes resilience hard or difficult at times is, what if we burn out before the benediction? What if that our internal basketball stops dribbling before we're at the end? How do we announce that? To whom do we announce it? Who's willing to hear it? Who can accept it?
Brady, that's so well put and such an important reminder, because, you know, we've been having these conversations about resilience on the podcast and in other contexts the last several weeks, but really, you know, for a couple of years now. And I think when we talk about resilience, there's an assumption embedded in it that it's this one-time thing that you bounce back from something and then you wait for the next time that you need to be resilient. But what you're describing is that resilience can be quite a long arc and quite a process, that resilience for the long haul requires a really demanding perseverance and sustainability that it's hard to come by, and that resilience is a process that is at risk of burnout, and it is hard for that reason. So we might be able to celebrate that first little moment of resilience and say, hey, look, I bounced back, but what about the 50th time that you have to conjure up the ability or the capacity to do that? So that's a good word.
Yeah, it's interesting when you use the analogy of the ball. I was actually writing something this week and I thought of this analogy of a deflated basketball and how a deflated basketball does not have the same bounce back mm-hmm. that a full basketball does, but often it has some bounce back. And in thinking of that, it made me think of, what is it, Newton's law of motion, an object of motion will remain in motion unless acted upon by a negative force. And I think when I hear the quote about hope, I think sometimes we feel that our resilience runs out, But I think the challenge is to steward ourselves in a way and to care for ourselves in a way, to be aware enough of the forces acting upon us that we do continue to be resilient. And it doesn't mean that we bounce back at the same rate with the same force. Sometimes bouncing back is easy and it's a short thing, and sometimes it's longer. But I do wonder at what point we start, particularly as ministry leaders, tending our capacity for resilience instead of kind of waiting for it to run out and then saying, oh, like now I need to fill it up.
I wonder if in part what it means to be a minister is in some way not always doing that, not always being in this mode of adaptation, being in this mode of marshaling hope and pulling together resources. And I completely agree with you. I mean, a ball that's deflated is not a ball that's completely unusable. It may still have the opportunity to be of some use. But at what point do we give that ball a chance just to be out of the game? And I'm thinking more maybe in line of a resilience reset, if you will. For my own life, I think one of the challenges of the pandemic has been just the enduring nature of this sort of, it's a low grade pressure or challenge, if you will. So it's not an immediate drain or it's like, oh, this sucked all the life out of me. It's over time, this continued adaptation, and you discover this marathon is almost more difficult than it would be if it were just a sprint. Again, another image that comes to mind, I often watch some of these survival shows, and they talk about what happens if the person gets really cold, that they can burn more calories just shivering. I mean, they're not moving, exerting energy, they're just shivering, but they can burn more calories trying to keep their bodies warm just by shivering. So it's a low grade motion, but it's persistent and continued and for hours upon hours through the night where you're trying to sleep and keep warm, you're burning endless calories because your body's just trying to maintain this core temperature. I'm saying we got to pull that person out of the cold at some point and give them a chance to reset. But we have to have a way to even begin to talk about that when we think about ministry. You know, there are things like sabbaticals. There are other ways that we troubleshoot once burnout is reached. But in agreement with what you're saying, I think we have to make that a normal part of the conversation that helps challenge us as ministry leaders to acknowledge we cannot do this on our own. Ministry is already an isolating place, and we got to have a way of talking about what happens in those moments.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting when I think of this, I wasn't thinking of us as ministry leaders. For me, the challenge, I think, with a lot of us is we only think of ourselves as ministry leaders, that we forget ourselves, that there are humans, that there are people, that we are flesh just like everybody else. The reason why this quote spoke so powerfully to me was because, and I could just be an overly optimistic person, I don't know. This season has been an incredibly challenging season for me, like so many. But what I find is that I am starting to be really intentional about what I tend. And I think so many times in ministry, one of the reasons why resilience is so hard is because we spend a lot of time tending to things that have no potential to grow. Howard Thurman talks about tending to the green growing edge, that we spend a lot of time tending to dying things and to things that don't have capacity to energize us back. And so when I think of resilience, I think of what are the things that we are doing regularly that tend to that thing that is ahead of us, the growing edge, that thing that has forward motion, energy, and inertia. And I agree with you wholeheartedly, that is not work we can wait to do until we're frozen in a block of ice, because then death is too close. That I think it is something that has to be normalized, that we have to not get to the point where we're always putting ourselves on the ice. And it seems like sometimes we're always putting ourselves on the ice.
Yeah, that's such a good word, Jennifer, because we often frame resilience and bouncing back and courage and all the things we might associate with that, sometimes we're examining it within a framework that we shouldn't be in the first place. We're trying to bounce back into something that should have never been before us. It reminds me of what was said earlier about basically resilience requiring an awareness of the forces that are acting on us and paying attention to that, and also discerning, you know, if I'm going to bounce back, maybe it's a matter of bouncing back in a totally different direction. Over the last several months, our team has talked a lot about, it's not so much returning back to something, but it's returning to God. This is what the scriptures say over and over again when it talks about returning. It's saying, return to the Lord your God. So similarly, resilience might be a wake-up call to say, we've been bouncing back to all the wrong things in the first place, and that's why it's so inherently exhausting. What if we bounced back and we realized, oh, I should have never been a basketball in the first place? We should have been a different type of ball on a different type of playing field doing something very differently, and that this whole exercise in resilience has been futile because we should have never been in the context in the first place.
I guess there's no way to talk about resilience without talking about how we understand our roles mm-hmm. as leaders of whatever kind, because leadership requires something of you. And your comment around tending for a moment, Jennifer, took me back to my football days and thinking about the coach saying, leave everything on the field, essentially saying, leave everything on the field. If you want to rest, come to the sideline. I just think about ministry and how we give everything to the church, sometimes at the expense of giving no things to our family or to ourselves. And so to realize that there's no way to do this well without tending. So that image comes, circles back and hits me in the forehead in a powerful way. There's no way to do this without tending to things like spiritual formation, tending to things like self-care, tending to things like our emotional awareness and intelligence, tending to family and meaningful relationships, tending to our understanding of people. You know, some of us as pastoral leaders see it as our role to please people. And that is an endless task and a virtual brain drain because we can never please everyone. And so, along with resilience, I think we ought to have clarity and spaces and support circles to talk about how we understand our role, because sometimes we're burning out because we're doing too much. And maybe it is possible to do less better, but depending on our ecclesial systems, we've got to navigate that. We've got to have words to tell the bishop if we're in an episcopal system. We have to have words to say to the session and other leadership entities.
And I think we have to have words to say to ourselves. I think we've taken this whole idea of the suffering servant and being wounded healers. I think we've taken a little bit too far, because I think we too many times put ourselves up on the cross as if we are the saviors and we are the righteous ones who can. And we don't have power to do any of that. You know, the reality is that Jesus died and rose to save us too, and not that we might have death lives, but that we might too have life abundant, which means that the model for ministry to me is a model that is centered on Christ-centered freedom and not this kind of suffering and sacrifice and always giving out until we give up. And to me, that's a theological issue. And I think some of what we do in our behavior is because the theological frameworks that we're operating from are ones that are centered on control and not ones that are centered on freedom and liberation.
And faith.
And faith.
I mean, to really trust that beyond our manipulation of systems and people, we said we believe that God is in control of this. And there is so much for so many of us that does not connect our faith with a sense of freedom, and not just personal political freedoms, but the spiritual freedom to trust that God can be active in more than just the same way we've always done this, the same role we've always understood.
I love the way you said to trust that God can be active, but that also spirit in us is active. That our capacity and our ability to be resilient is not just our capacity.
I see.
That based on the spirit that dwells within us, there is power beyond our capacity that gives us resilience in the face of things that we feel we may not be able to navigate. But again, that requires that we've tended to some things. And so I think it's part of this kind of ongoing system of pouring into. And I think you're right to identify that for so many of us, it's hard for us to be resilient and to kind of bounce back because we're not really pouring into and we're not being poured into. It's interesting when you use the example of playing football and the coach saying, if you want to rest, go on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. I was training with my son yesterday. He's a quarterback and he went to the special training camp. And one of the things that they were teaching him is how to rest in motion. When you can't get to the sidelines and you're on the field and you feel like you don't have breath and energy, what are some things that you can do to give yourself a pause, to get a breath or two, to at least get through that play? And I think for a lot of us, we have looked to the sabbatical and to those things, and we haven't really looked at practices of active rest, that when we're in the thick of it and we can't necessarily get away or whatever, what are those things? And I think one of the things that you named that is so powerful is community. The incredible strengthening power of getting together with a couple of people. And you know how it is, y'all get together and you start off, everybody start off, you know, complaining about what's going on. And then before you know it, you start encouraging each other. Or somebody says, yeah, I know exactly how you feel. And even though you're still carrying that burden, the fact that somebody else relates and understands and you are seen and heard helps you to be able to bounce back or keep it going or, you know, give you a little lift.
That last word is a huge gift. And it's not just what do you do, but it's who are your people. And for every minister who might listen to this, I just want to encourage you to hold that question. Who are your people? We all deserve and need someone to be our people who would just see not Pastor Brady, Therapist Brady, but just sees Brady and gives me space just to be me. It's my prayer that if you don't have that, that God might send those kinds of resources to be with you and to be for you, even at times when it's difficult to be for yourself.
Brady, thank you so much for your time, the conversation, and for your wonderfully encouraging leadership along the way.
It's been my pleasure to have this moment just to be a reflection about something that's really important to me. When I think about my own call as a pastor and therapist, it was in seminary that I began to think about, gosh, who's there for our sisters and brothers as pastoral leaders? And so I'm thankful to have this moment, thankful to do the things that I love.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a project of the Macedonian Ministry Foundation.
The Ministry Collaborative nurtures a national network of pastors and congregations committed to faithful,
creative,
and courageous engagement in their communities.
Our producer is Marthane Sanders.
To find out more about our work of cultivating leadership that makes a difference in congregations and communities,
visit our website
at www.ministrycollaborative.org.